Hello, can everyone hear me? Okay. So just want to say hi to everybody. This has been amazing, just the weekly gatherings. I know for me, not only being able to participate it, but in it, but to hear from you all has really blessed me. So I've been really enjoying these gatherings. And it's really been good. So I hope everybody's been doing well and your holidays have been going well. And I guess now we will go into just members and friends, all of us just greeting one another in the room.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Core value for today for my sermon is we accept one true self, which is one presence or being non-dual without beginning or end and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. That's core value three. And for our announcements today, join us next Sunday, December 15th, for Awakening Together's fourth quarter meeting, member meeting. At this meeting, Regina will share the third quarter financial report. Other agenda items include an update about the retreat house mortgage. Wait until you see how much we've already paid off. The itinerary for Awakening Together's 2020 pilgrimage to holy sites in northern Mexico. An update on changes to the form and much more. Again, that meeting is next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Join us on December 22nd, the Sunday before Christmas, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, in the Awakening Together Sanctuary for a discussion of this month's movie, The Sixth Sense. This month's movie discussion group will be facilitated by George Maddox. Sixth Sense is a mystical thriller starring Bruce Willis as Malcolm Crowe, a child psychologist in Philadelphia, who works with a young boy named Cole. Cole is able to see dead people, ghosts who are walking around like the living, unaware that they are dead. Learning to live with ghosts he sees, Cole begins a journey to help Malcolm discover a surprising truth as the cliffhanger movie ends with a surprise twist. Start the new year off by resolving for truth at an Awakening Together retreat by that name. The Resolving for Truth retreat is scheduled for January 20th to the 24th at the Awakening Together Retreat House in La Vida. At this retreat, you will determine your 2020 spiritual vision and develop a realistic plan for achieving that vision. This retreat will be facilitated by Regina Dawn Akers. The retreat fee is $200 if you lodge at the retreat house or $245 if you lodge elsewhere. For full details, go to the retreats and classes menu on our website and then look at the retreats at the retreat house menu. I believe that's it for our announcements. Now we'll have just an opening song.
If it's magic, then why can't it be everlasting? Like the sun that always shines, like the poet's endless rhyme, like the galaxies in time. If it's pleasing, then why can't it be never leaving? Like the day that never fails, like on seashores there are shells, like the time that always tells, it holds the key to every heart throughout the universe. It fills you up without a bite and quenches every thirst. So, if it's special, then with it, why aren't we as careful? Making sure we dress in style, posing pictures with a smile, keeping danger from a child. It holds the key to every heart throughout the universe. It fills you without a bite and quenches every thirst. So, if it's magic, why can't we make it everlasting? Like the lifetime of the sun, it will leave no heart undone.
So I'd like to lead us into prayer. Everyone just take a deep breath. Come to center. So grateful for this time to gather together, for every light that has come into this sacred space. Grateful for the opening that is being made. More space for the self. And I know that every time that we gather every time that we share this light, that this opening is widening, and that peace, love, and joy is here. And it is ever available and ever accessible to everyone. And so I give thanks for that words that come through contemplation, that they may be filled with grace and light and truth. And so it is. Now we'll have our inspirational reading by Dawn.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Bev, for asking me to read. I always enjoy reading, especially when it's something as beautiful as this. Thank you, Regina, for letting this be transcribed through you, Holy Spirit speaking through you. I'm reading from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, NTI, Matthew chapter 13. Your choice is the key to this scripture. All that you do by choice. To deny this is to deny the essence of who you are. And yet, many deny themselves and believe they are victims of their own distractions. I say to you, listen to me. No one can keep you from yourself, and it's capital S, so, but yourself. That's lowercase s. Lay yourself aside that you may come home to me. My words are clear to those who choose to understand them. For when you lay yourself aside and ask to receive understanding, it is given you. But understanding can only be given if you choose to lay yourself aside. For if you do not make this choice, it is because you believe you know. And so you cannot be taught. Be thankful that my words are clear to you. For you have asked and it is given. This is the symbol of your Father's love on earth. Freely he extends himself to you. Blessed are you who have chosen to receive. Not everyone you meet will be ready to make the choice that you have made. Many will not. But you must love them. For love is the good soil you have chosen. And not to love is not to have made the choice. Love your brothers. Give them as they ask and do not judge. Think no evil thoughts about them. Do not worry about their choices. It is your choice you must guard. Make sure that you choose the good soil and that you do not let yourself slip onto the path between the rocks or among the thorns. The choice you make will seem to be made many times in complete sincerity and truth of heart. And then you'll seem to slip and forget the choice you made. Do not let this distress you. Simply make the choice again. In any moment when you notice that evil thoughts and thoughts of separateness have crept into your mind, give them up in that moment. It is moment to moment in which the harvest occurs. And so it is in the moment that you remember that you must also make the choice. Do not worry that you do not tend to your choice enough. For if you tend to your choice every time you remember, that is enough. For in the tending of your choice, the tending itself will extend you and extend until you are tending to your choice in every moment as you desire. For the tending is the mustard seed. Let me read that again. For the tending is the mustard seed. Ask me to rain upon your seed intend whenever you remember. I will lead you to remember more. It is through your choice, but not through your effort, that the kingdom of heaven is given. For the kingdom of heaven must be a gift given by the Father to you. Choose to be ready to receive the gift. In this way, it is like yeast. The yeast represents the choice, but the rising of the dough is the gift born of that choice. What I tell you now is the truth of your salvation. It is only through this that you shall be saved. The Son of God is an extension of his Father, but this he has forgotten. That he has forgotten does not change what is true. When you see yourself in this forgotten state, and you believe that you are guilty, and you live in a fearful world, it is then that you suffer. And yet you believe these thoughts. And in believing these thoughts, you suffer. And in believing these thoughts, you believe the evidence of these thoughts, and you suffer more. This is why I am here. I am here to bring clarity, to replace confusion, love, to replace fear. But you must know that your thoughts are born of fear. And fear is the way of this world. To know my gift, you must put down your thoughts of fear and turn away from its evidence. Through your consistent choice, I will give you my gift. For I cannot give against your choice. So I cannot give the gift of love if it is fear that you choose. Listen to me now. You must trust me above all that you think and hear and see. You must put me above yourself and your world. And you do this by your choice, by selecting the thoughts you will believe and the thoughts you will let go. Thoughts of love and thoughts of fear are in your mind. Now, where will you choose to put your faith? This is what I'm telling you. If you seek confusion and fear, you'll find it, for the world breeds confusion and fear. But if it is truth and clarity that you seek, I offer it to you now. Let go of everything that is not the gift I offer. Accept only my gift. In this way, the treasure of heaven is yours. The sorting of thoughts is the work that must be done. This is the moment-to-moment choice you must make. Where will you put your faith? If you ask me to help you make your choice, I will help. I will lead you along the path and point your choices out to you. Let me help. Depend upon me. Put yourself in my hands, and I will tell you where to look. There's nothing that is to remain hidden in your mind as the work of sorting is done. Do not be afraid. Do not hide thoughts from the work. All thoughts must be brought out from the corners of your mind into my light. And there they shall be judged. I will judge your thoughts for you, but you must make that choice. It's yourself that I have asked you to lay aside. And it is on this choice that your Father waits to give you his gift. You know yourself and your world as your home, and although you are afraid, you have become comfortable there. I ask you to give up your home and all that you know, that I may give you your true self and true home. I offer more than comfort within a world of fear. I offer peace. I offer the peace in knowing of God. It is your choice, but I will help you with your choice if you choose to walk with me. That was Matthew chapter 13 in NTI. All right, handing the mic over to you, Reverend Beverly.
Thank you. That was really beautiful, Dawn. Thank you. If it's magic, if it's important, if it's precious, then it's important that I attend to it. And I love this song because it just makes it just really powerfully clear that there's really no other choice. That all the false choices and the false needs, they just really fall away, and it kind of opens your heart up. And just such a beautiful reminder of what's real. I used to, you know, listen to Stevie Wonder. My dad is a huge Stevie Wonder fan, and I can remember when I was little, he would play it in our basement. I would sit down on the stairs and just listen to song after song. And so, you know, I just felt like he's a very powerful vehicle for truth. I don't know, probably most of you know his music, but it's amazing. I chose the reading from NTI Matthew chapter 13 because it spoke to me of the nature of the journey to awakening, and it speaks about how we must tirelessly lay ourselves aside. I can surrender my understanding or my perception for what is real. There is absolutely no other choice. I love how the choice is so clear and simple in this reading. Like, there's no 10 steps to understanding. It's just one. And I just love just the simplicity of it. Just the choice to lay ourselves aside. So it says, all that I do by choice. This does not seem apparent if I'm not abiding in the self. It would seem that outer influences are running everything and that I am the victim of which direction the current is flowing. Seeking deep in, within the unaffected self allows us to see this current, which is not the self. If we understand this, then we can choose. No matter how many times I get swept up, I can reorient myself through the self. We are all vulnerable to the undertow of illusion. I have seen myself getting up or setting up the most ridiculous routines in my life, causing myself stress, whether it's the hoops that I jump through to get ready for my day or the obstacle course I set up around getting my kids ready for their day. So much happening, none of it necessary. All that I do by choice. There's no exception. And that one was really one that I had to sit with. All of it I do by choice, I'm asking myself. Then I think back to how, as my children are moving into adolescence, in my opinion, there is never more me projected into my experience than at this time in their lives. To quote myself exactly, put your retainer in your mouth, thinking about all the money I spent. Put deodorant on, not wanting them to be alienated. Put a coat on, it's cold today, as I beg my daughter to wear a coat in 40-degree weather. Or here's a crazy one. If you don't stop stretching the wire of your earbuds, you won't be able to hear through them. All obviously crises. Meanwhile, the false self is losing. Empty threats flying, not to mention that the I am bad belief makes it difficult to hold boundaries with consistency. There's never a more crazy-making time in a parent's life, in my opinion, as when your children are coming into adolescence, because it is the epitome of letting go. If there are levels to insanity, I think I hit them all. I really had to look at myself. I was reading some books about dealing with difficult scenarios with children, and there was some wisdom. It was called natural consequences, meaning let life be the teacher. Of course, barring anything that may cause harm. So no headphones, no music, no coat. The cold is the teacher. No retainer. It'll be what it'll be. The beauty is that sometimes everything is fine and life is teaching me too. So when you've done all you can do, chop wood, carry water, am I saying that right? Then there's natural consequences. The Zen saying is not chop wood, carry water, and then get attached to the outcome. To me, natural consequences is another way of saying that awareness knows what it is doing. I don't have to control everything. So yes, the answer to my question is all that I do by choice, and I can choose to leave the circus at any time. What does that mean? What does it mean to lay myself aside? To me, this means to lay aside that self that is affected, to lay aside that self to whom matter matters. The one who has the gripe or the complaint, the one who is in terror, the one who feels lost, or even the one who is deeply satisfied by current circumstances. When I have not laid myself aside, it has been because I had a plan, or I felt that my idea of what is happening is true, or I feel that I know, and because I know, I have to carry out my insane plan because not to would be irresponsible, so my ego tells me. I have made many regrettable choices along this line of thinking. There is no understanding that can be had unless I lay myself aside. No matter how complex I may think something is, the answer is right here. I need but clear the confusion to allow clarity to show itself. I'm viewing life through a defective lens, and all my choices are made from this faulty perception. I remember when a family member was having some digestive issues, and me being a doctor, of course, I'm throwing everything at it. The course I was taking was logical and well thought out, but apparently not what was needed. I then let go. I let go of the outcome, my fear, all of it. I truly did lay myself aside without expectation or motive. Then it came to me without effort as I was sleeping, something so simple that in all my thinking had not occurred to me. And with its implementation, this illusion disappeared. I say illusion because there was never really a problem. There is no one or no thing keeping us from the self, NTI says. Sometimes surrender will look different though. I happened to stumble over a verse in NTI Luke 9 that I was reading the other day, and it said, "You will not be healed by the following ways that make sense to you. Following what makes sense to you has brought you to the point of needing healing, so it cannot be healing itself." So it is not always about relief from the perceived problem, but freedom is the gift regardless. What I sometimes hear is, stop seeking to fix your affairs. Inherent in this seeking is more affairs to fix. It is not truth you seek to save your world. You seek a temporary peace because you seek to solve the temporal. Therefore, the solution is temporal also. Then it says in NTI, not everyone you meet will be ready to make the choice that you have made. I've gotten hung up on this one more times than I can count. I've thought that everybody needs to be aligned with what I'm doing for things to work. I constantly have to remind myself that there is no other. I can see myself bucking against the current, needing things to be different before I set myself aside. To continue to have love and acceptance for what is most key. Loving and accepting what is means no judgment. There are times when I can hear myself saying, this is never going to work. And why would I say this? Because I think I know. My thoughts have already distracted me from my purpose. I have already assigned meaning to everything and everyone. Loving what is the alchemy that allows one to see clearly. If I give up my confusion, then confusion will cease. If I give up my fear, then fear will cease. If I give up my solutions, then problems will cease, because none of these things are real. But I'm the only one that needs to lay myself aside. The temptation to have everyone get on board with what I'm choosing is a trap. There is only one choice, and it is mine. The idea of needing to get involved in what others are choosing just creates a confusion and complexity that does not exist. It is my choice that must be guarded, my choice to lay myself aside. There is no other choice to be made, no matter how many times I may forget. The choice that I must make never changes. What I have found, though, is that the ego tries to tell me that I am not worthy of even making the choice because of the number of times that I have been distracted. The ego sometimes seems almost to make light of my journey due to its inconsistency at times, but these too are distractions. I cannot fall so far where surrender cannot return me immediately back to the self. The choice must be made now, again and again. The ego would say, so just like that, you think you can just go back like nothing happened? And I say, yep, with the confidence and knowledge that this is so, because nothing is ever happening. The more I remember to make this choice, the more the choice makes itself. I have found that when I am diligent with this practice, not only do I automatically start making the choice, but the distractions become more apparent and the return to self occurs more quickly. It becomes hard not to remember, and the self-floggings start to disappear too. The wonderful thing is that the choice is all that is needed, as NTI says. There is no effort past this one choice that is needed. A plant does what it does when you water it. If you remember to water it, it will grow. If you are not ready for the meal that has been prepared for you, then earnestly seek the breadcrumb. The moment-to-moment choice that we make is the breadcrumb. The choice to release all thoughts that are not love is the task. I have noticed that the most innocent, seemingly harmless, false thoughts can gain momentum like a snowball rolling down a hill. All thoughts that are not love must not be allowed to linger and take root. What we look for, we will find, as NTI says. I have looked at situations or people in my experience and have allowed statements like, this is hopeless. Or I've just had the negative sentiment of judgment without words. It's like a silent agreement based on past memory or experience. The silent negative prophecy in my head. That person or experience that has not changed and feels like a fixture in my life is sometimes held in place by the very thoughts that I think privately. I judge with the usual ignorance that feels like truth. I trust the law of probability, which is grounded in illusion. I use deductive reasoning saying, well, if it looks and quacks like a duck, then there you have it. And these thoughts often go under the radar unchecked. I realize I cannot release only some parts of the script. I have to release all the ways that I partake in this cohabiting. All thoughts that are not love must go. Where am I putting my faith? The choice must be pure, untainted by these subtle outlier thoughts that go unseen and make our choice unclear, muddling the truth. I had the opportunity the other day to lay myself aside. I was somewhat inflamed by the way a social worker at my office was handling an elderly patient of mine that I had referred to her. There had been ongoing issues in the office regarding this person, and I felt myself just gearing up and getting angry. And then I made the only choice. I respectfully asked for what I needed for my patient, for my office manager, and then I then put myself aside. I did not badmouth the social worker, but stated my patient's needs. It was at this time that I made the choice to put myself aside. But something also was taking over me, like a silence, is the only way I could describe it. The silence was very easy, and I felt no sense of repression or tongue biting, but just the wisdom to stay silent and at peace. The rest was truly effortless. Something was happening without effort. There was the question of what do you want, which was followed by the one choice to lay myself aside, knowing that I could not possibly answer that question from a place of will. It then became apparent that what I wanted was exactly what happened, peace. Sometimes when I ask for help in setting myself aside and I receive it through guidance, I find myself looking at past choices that I've made and the I am bad belief pops up out of nowhere. I may see the consequences of choices I've been making or see the damage or hurt that I've caused through past choosing, and I get stuck in self-judgment. Though I'm choosing a new path, there needs to be vigilance about old thoughts that can sabotage this new path with thoughts of guilt. The ego may say, look at what you did when you weren't conscious. And I cannot hide these thoughts from myself. as they are part of the house cleaning that I'm doing. Guidance says, give them up. They are not yours to judge. As the new choice you are making sheds light, accept the light and shine it on every thought that rears its head. In some areas of my life, there would seem to be comfort within the false self, and it can be easy to just remain there, though it causes me pain. The more time spent in the self, however, the less the false self feels like home. It starts to feel like anxiety, panic, restlessness, irritability. As I look at the self that I have made, there really are no comforts in it. It is ever-changing, unpredictable, unreliable, unquenchable. I no longer find comfort in it. But my inability to find comfort in it is growth. It is a result of watering the plant as often as I can remember, and the growth, no effort of my own. The light within can be revealed with the simple choice to give up what we are not. So precious have I made all these things that hold together the false self, my journey, my wounds, my appearances, my status, my story. The mystery of what I am, however, is so alluring at this point in my life, in my journey, that there is no more mystery left in the temporary. It comes, it goes, end of story. What I am can be revealed in my ability to free fall into the choice to surrender all knowing. I have thought there is no wonder in the mundane life that I live, or that there are no miracles to be had here in this dysfunctional situation I find myself in. But the depth and the possibilities for awakening are endless right now. In everything that I have judged as madness or waste of time, who am I to say that God is not in it when I know that all is in God? This too is the trap of the quote unquote routine life. Just lay your judgment aside, chop wood, carry water, and awaken if you dare. This concludes my sermon. And now we'll have an open meditation, contemplation with a song.
Is there a light you have inside you can't touch? A looking glass can only show you so much. Follow the signs slowly but steady. Don't there is a light you have inside you can't touch.
Now we'll have open sharing. If anybody would like to share.
Well, I just want to thank you, Bev. It was heartfelt, and your Omni had so much humility in it, which just spoke to my heart. That there is no choice. You know, that's what we have to look at. You know, the unaffected self is who we really are. Yet, my patterns are still in forgetfulness. So instead of getting angry at myself or listening to the angry ego mind, I'm starting to not accept judgments and just be very conscious of them. And I just loved the way you just put your words together. It really felt like it was coming right through spirit. Mm-hmm. And I loved it so much. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Carla has her hand up.
Okay, thank you. So I didn't get where the reading was NTI, because I was in the tub. And what I heard, let me listen. So I've made a choice to leave my house of 25 years and go to Mexico. No idea why, but I'm going to do it. And then I was like, it's 25 years is a lot of stuff. And I was doing stuff, but not really. My heart wasn't it, I think. Letting go. Not really interested in letting go. And so I see I called an experience to support me in this. And it appeared like mice in my house. So there was a mouse. I heard a mouse, and I've had it 2 years. Well, 2 years ago, I had my house, the foundation is sealed so I wouldn't get mice. Amazing. Here it was. It was like, and it was even more interesting as I'm like, it jumped in a box. And I moved the box outside, and the mouse was gone. And I thought, oh, great. I'm done, right? And then there's another mouse. And I'm like, okay, God, I don't know how you're going to deal with this, but it's yours. And it jumped in a bag. I mean, it was eaten in a bag. And I picked up the bag. It had handles on the bag. And I put it outside, and there's the mouse outside. And then, like, it was a week in between each experience about, and I thought that was it, and there's a third mouse. And I'm like, oh, man. And I realized why there kept being mice. That I wasn't letting what is just be. I was wanting rid of the mice. I was wanting something different. And when I let go, I don't know if it's going to be the mouse. Meek, I have no idea. And I called the people up and, like, was kind of not a little anxious, I think. And I realized I was relying on the people to seal my foundation to get rid of the mice. And once I let go of whether the mice are here or not, the third mouse, I've heard it, I listened to it for like 2 hours. I was getting really disturbed, and I realized it's in another bag, and I put that bag outside, and I had other realizations I won't go into, but so here's where I am. It doesn't matter if there's mice here or not. It's my focus. I'm focused on preparing to move on to the next stage of my life, my awareness, my growth, whatever that is. I'm willing to do that. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. And sure, I'm probably going to have stuff coming up for healing, like the mice and the attachment to them and all the stuff, the 25 years of stuff in my house. The thinking that this is helpful, we'll keep this. You know, who's deciding? That's my opportunity. Life, all these experiences, I think are just the opportunity offered to us to grow and to see the love in each experience. And to extend that love offered to us, to ourselves, to everyone else in each experience, no matter how it appears. That is my intention. To love as God loves and see only that in each experience and extend only that in each experience. And if I forget for a minute, an hour, a day, to extend love to even that. So thank you. The words that letting go of the home to I don't know how, what the words were. I don't know where they were, but to let go of the home, I guess that's the comfortability in this world to reach the true home. And that's, it seems like it's the mice. It seems like it's letting go of the house. It seems like who knows what's going to happen next. It seems like all these things in the mind, the ego thought system wants to name it for something. It's first nothing but the opportunity I spoke of. And I'm interested in not focusing on that voice and focusing on the voice within. So thank you so much. I'm letting go of my home to reach my true home. And what was that reading? If you can repeat it. I know it's in TI, but so thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for sharing your journey.
Hey, Bev, I think Regina's got her hand up, just to let you know.
I can't see. Okay. I can't see everybody. Yes.
Hello, everybody. First of all, I want to answer Carla. That was NTI Matthew chapter 13. And I was shocked, actually, when Don started the reading, because we have a retreat here this week. It's called the Freedom from the Ego Retreat, and it's my intention to open the retreat with that reading, NTI Matthew chapter 13. So I thought that was really funny, you know, one of those holy coincidences. But NTI Matthew chapter 13, in a nutshell, is teaching what I call the purification process. And it's a really, really, really important process. And the gist of it is, you know, letting go of all thoughts that are not love or clarity. Just letting go of each and every thought that comes into the mind that is not love. And it's a matter of you know, the problem is people get caught up in their stories. You know, I used to tell the story about when Laurent was living with me. You know, I like a fairly clean house. Laurent was an expert slob. He was as good at it as you can get. And when I was learning purification, you know, I had to make a decision, you know, because if I looked at my house, the house was a disaster area, you know, in my humble opinion, right? If I looked at the house, I had proof that I was right, you know? So it wasn't a matter of letting go of the thought Laurent's a slob based on what was going on. Because based on what was going on, he was a slob. It was a matter of letting go of the thought because it wasn't love. You know, and that's where people make their mistakes. They make the mistake of believing the story, and they don't want to let it go because, dang it, the story's true. Well, sure, the story's true. I mean, you said it yourself. Let me see if I can scroll back. I try to write things down so I can remember exactly what was said. Let's see. Sometimes it's held in place by the things I think privately. Well, of course it's true in form. You know, your thoughts are attracting the picture. I mean, you guys, you know, we teach that loop of experience here all the time. What I think, I see. What I see, I experience. What I experience, I think. Of course it's true in form. What you're forgetting is that the form comes from you. You have to let go first. It's not a matter of waiting for the form to change and then you're going to let go, because that is never going to happen. You know, and that's what NTI Matthew chapter 13 is all about. It's teaching you who you are. It's teaching you where manifestation comes from. And it's teaching you that you have to let go first. And the reason for letting go, at least the way it came through me, was because you want love. Love and only love. And the only way you're going to have that experience is if you let go of all thoughts that are not love. You know, someone recently said to me, I think actually she said it to everybody in a gathering, said something about how she wasn't really interested in, you know, what's beyond consciousness. She's still trying to get to the good dream. Well, the good dream is a natural thing that you pass through before you really start strongly desiring what's beyond consciousness. So I understand that. But Matthew chapter 13 is teaching you how to get to the good dream. You know, you can't just keep right on believing all of your thoughts and get to the good dream. That good dream is not going to manifest through you believing all of your thoughts. It's not going to happen because the dream's coming from you. Right? So Matthew 13 is an important teacher. And again, this week's retreat is completely based on Matthew chapter 13. So I thought that was really hilarious. I really recognize myself in you, Bev, you know, because when I was going through this, I was also a parent. And in fact, I even have a story that I've told many times about the day I couldn't get Jasmine to put on a coat, you know, I mean, the exact same story. And, you know, this was really early on the path for me. In fact, I formally started the spiritual path in April of 2004, and this was probably October of 2004. Right. So just wasn't that far into it when Jasmine, it was that first cool day, you know, of the season, and Jasmine was going to, I think, second grade, and she didn't want to put on a coat. And we stood there at the bus stop, and on the outside, because there were other parents around, so on the outside I was being all cool and collected. I wasn't beating my child or anything. But on the inside I was. On the inside, I was just furious with her that she wouldn't just put on this damn coat, you know? I mean, and in the end, I won, and she put on the coat. But that was the first day that root cause inquiry arose in my mind. You know, I went and sat in my car, because usually after I dropped her off of the bus, I went straight to work. But I was so upset, I just sat there in my car, and spontaneously it started, you know, why am I upset? It just started. And I just followed that root cause inquiry all the way down. And I was absolutely shocked to find out that My desire for her to put on a coat really had nothing to do with keeping her warm. I was afraid for her to show up at school without a coat and have the other parents, teachers, and principal think that I was a bad mother because I didn't send my daughter to school with a coat. You know, it was all about me. And this was really the beginning of taking the lid off. This was the beginning of the true spiritual path for me, because after that, I started practicing root cause inquiry on every single upset I came across. And at that time, everything kept coming down to, you know, what I call the I am bad belief. Just everything I was doing, you know, was all about trying to make me look good. That mask was so huge. And then what happened one day is it's like it just got uncorked, you know, because I kept looking at it. And it just got uncorked. And all of this self-hatred that I would never have imagined was in there started coming up. And in fact, in my memory, it came up for like 2 months, just nonstop. And I will admit that was an extremely difficult time. But it came about because I refuse to accept my old way of thinking habitually anymore. I started inquiring into every thought. I started making choices about thoughts I wanted to let go of. And the really wonderful thing in my story is after this 2 months of self-hatred ended, you know, coming up, I wasn't completely free of the I am bad belief. That didn't happen for a total of 5 years. But it's like I had cleared up enough space in the subconscious that I was now able to hear the Holy Spirit. And it was after that 2 months of clearing that I received my calling that asked me to write for the Holy Spirit and to teach what I write. Because that clearing cleared up enough space. You know, it's like the subconscious blocks out the Holy Spirit. It's like the Holy Spirit is below it talking, but we can't hear it because we've got so much crap here. And when I cleared it out enough, I mean, I didn't clear it out. Before it was like this, now it was like this. But there were holes, right, where clarity could start coming through. And then that clarity, of course, taught me how to clear away more things. So there were more and more holes and more holes, right? More and more clarity could come through. But if we just keep believing our stories, if we just keep believing that we're right when our daughter should put on a coat, we're never going to get there. You know, I thought everything you said today was brilliant. And in fact, it appeared that you had it written down. If you do have it written down, I would recommend that you send it to Dawn and let her put it in PDF form and put it up there along with your talk. Because I think people could, if they wanted to, learn a lot by reading what you wrote down. Because like I said, I saw myself in you. And the reason I saw myself in you, and of course part of it was the parent thing, but also those realizations that you're having that you wrote down, those are all realizations that I had, you know? And those are all realizations that everyone needs to have. And until we have those realizations, we aren't really going anywhere, you know? So I want to thank you very much for your sharing today. I really thought it was perfect. It was a perfect introduction to the retreat that we're going to be doing all week this week. One of those miraculous coincidences. Releasing the mic.
Thank you. Thank you. It was good just to be able to share and to deepen like that. I can't see everyone on my screen for some reason. Is there anyone else who had something they wanted to say? I just don't want to miss anybody. I guess we'll end with a song.
Bev, I just want to say something real quick. I just want to say a big thank you, but also you bring to my attention again where... It was so cute when you said, if it quacks like a duck, it's like that part of the mind that is so like a dog with a bone. It's like, oh, but it's right there. Kind of like, well, not kind of, but exactly what Regina was saying. If we're looking to the form and we're thinking the form, but look, see, that is actually part of the trap. That's how we get stuck. And then we can't even get to the happy dream, which is, you know, further on down the road. So I just want to say thank you again for bringing that to my attention. And it's just one more reminder, a helpful, helpful, beautiful reminder. Do not look at the circumstances happening, what's happening in reality, as proof. Because if I continue to do that, I'm going to continue to just stay in that same repetitive stuck cycle. And that woe is me, and look how this is happening, and oh, you know, and it feeds back. It's that loop. It feeds back of the unworthy belief. So I just want to say a big thank you for reminding me, don't fall for that. Don't fall for that mess, that trap. If it quacks like a duck, that's ego. So what? So what if it quacks like a duck? So what? We're going beyond that. All right, love you.
So we'll get started with the song.
Hi, Bev. I think Reverend Shauna wants to say something real quick.
Hi, Beverly. You it was such a beautiful message. It's exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you so much. I've been really guided to concentrate on letting go of self-will, and through root cause inquiry and Byron Katie's The Work, just like Regina said, you get down to something that's so shocking that I had no idea that was there. And it's all about me. It's never about what's happening out there. So your homily was so perfect, and it really primes me for the retreat this week, which I just can't wait to see what happens in one way. And my ego's going, oh no, I'm so busted. Which is a good thing, right?
Yes.
So, and thank you for your examples from your life. That's the part that really, that I love to hear each week, is each person's example and their journey on their life and how it relates to this beautiful wisdom that came through you. So, and thank you, Dawn, for the beautiful reading and for the laughter about if it cracks, it's a duck. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Shauna. I wish I was there for the retreat. Yeah. Okay. So just thanks everybody for being here, for allowing my light to bounce off yours. I really, really enjoyed this and enjoy your energy. And I enjoy all the light that you give me on Sundays, and just continue to do that, because I know I'm benefiting from all of your wisdom. Thank you.